You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at possible media mergers in the works and what it all means for news consumers.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Jonas Zahn didn't plan to make a career in casket making, but the death of his grandfather opened his eyes to the funeral industry and launched him on a new path towards sustainability after death.
When my grandfather passed away, over a course of 3 days, I worked with my brother and sister and my father and my mom, and we made a casket for Grandpa. And that was a really different emotional experience. It's not something I planned or anticipated, but it really moved all of us. We spent time together, we talked about Grandpa, and we did something that we all felt very proud, which got me interested in casketry. Before my grandfather died, and some things I realized with that experience, is how disconnected I was from death. So I actually got to go to my grandfather's house, and I experienced his deceased body before a funeral service. I realized that's the only time in my whole life, unless you're in a medical or emergency rescue profession, we don't really encounter a deceased body, whether it's someone we know or not. And that's unusual. That's a very contemporary thing. And I thought that, wow, that's a really neat experience, and that's something I think other families would benefit from. So in the beginning, I really wanted to make a modest or humble and low-impact, earth-friendly type of casket. Everything here, everything we make, is made in Wisconsin by Wisconsin hands and craftsmen from Wisconsin woods. What we're standing in used to be a funeral home. It was a funeral home for about 40 years, and it was a furniture store before that, which is very common. Funeral homes and furniture stores were very often cohabitating businesses. So every casket shell comes in here, and this was an old furniture store, so it has an old freight lift. And it's a hand-operated lift with a rope and a big pulley and a cable. That's the brakes. So they come out the elevator, and we come in here into the finish room.
Hi.
But we are in a room right now that's about 60 feet long and I think 16 feet wide, which allows us to line up at all of our caskets that are in different states of finishing in a row here. And I think we have just shy of 30 in progress here right now. I mean, this shape is really interesting. If you close your eyes and say casket, and the shape that comes to mind, maybe steel, maybe wood, but it has an arched lid, has a handle along the side. It might be stationary, it might be swing bar. But this shape that we know a casket today was developed in America in the 1930s and 1940s. And the reason is because of steel production. This shape is very easy to make when you're pressing steel. The wood manufacturers moved away from this vintage design that has a much flatter top, a much more stable wood joinery, to this shape to compete with steel. This is a truly unique and very American design. The wood version pursued the market that the steel version was creating. Every one of these caskets is somebody's mom or dad's casket, and it should be an emotional experience for us. I'm still afraid of death. I don't want to think about when it's going to happen. It's not just a regular job for us. This is very important work for all of us.
That was Jonas Zahn of the Northwoods Casket Company. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
We've just heard about sustainably built caskets, which can be a part of a new movement highlighting natural or green burials. Joining us now to tell us more about green burials is Shed Farley, coordinator at the Natural Path Sanctuary in Verona. Shed, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, first off, let's define green burial. What is it?
So a green burial, and the first thing I should mention is that there are different shades of green. But in general, a green burial is trying to avoid the toxic materials that come with embalming and also the overuse of resources in the burial itself. So that means vaults are eliminated in our form of green burial. However, there are other cemeteries that do still use vaults. And it's more of an intent to leave as small an imprint on the environment as we can do.
Well, walk us through it. Would you, if someone is interested in planning for themselves a green burial, or someone comes with a loved one, what might that green burial look like? How would it take shape?
In general, it's much like how you would plan for a conventional burial at a conventional cemetery. Most of our clients go through a funeral home. Because a funeral home in our modern society, families are often all spread out all over the country. And a funeral home has the ability through refrigeration to hold a body indefinitely if they were not to be embalmed. So most of our clients also have a very keen interest in the environment. And they'll come to me either before, because they've heard of us and they'd like to tour the cemetery, and purchase in advance. Pre-need, but often they'll come afterwards, the survivors saying, my father passed away or my mother passed away and knew about you and wished to be buried here. So the funeral homes in the Madison area are all of them, every one of them, right on board with what we do. So they're able to supply the containers, either caskets or shrouds to for the burial. That we will allow, and will transport the body to us. There are other options in Colorado, or one other option, in that families can choose to bypass funeral home and tend to the bodies themselves.
Where did you say that option was?
In Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Did I say Colorado?
I thought you said Colorado, but I was wanting to
make
sure.
I lived in Colorado for 36 years.
I see. Okay, so that is available here in Wisconsin.
It is.
And in terms of cremation, a lot of people, I think, historically have thought cremation is an environmentally conscious choice to make there. You don't have the big casket, which will linger in the ground for a long time. How do you weigh cremation?
So cremation is, first of all, many people say this. Many people have come to me and said, I'm going to go one greener than you and I'm going to be cremated. Sometimes you have to push people who are environmentally conscious and aware another half inch. And all I have to say is, how much fuel does it take to heat a body to 1700 degrees for 4 hours? It takes an incredible amount of fuel, and with emissions from the crematoriums and the use of that fuel and the growing popularity of cremations, it adds nothing good to our environment. However, I will also say that it is still better than what happens at a conventional cemetery.
Now, a lot of people are drawn to the natural path sanctuary. I think part of the green burial and the grounds as well are part of it. What does it look like? What appeals to people?
So each natural cemetery has a different geography, a different topography. ours is located at my father's and mother's former home. And it's a 43-acre property, 25 of which are designated to the natural cemetery. We do have some open meadow areas and some formerly oak savanna areas, but most of our acres are wooded acres. So it's literally being buried in or close to the woods. And the paths have been put there by my father so that he and my mother could just walk through the woods years ago when they lived there, not that many years ago. And we've kept the same paths and have plotted our grave sites around it. The intent is to keep that very natural wooded look or meadow look. So we have certain limitations on the markers that people can use, and a variety of other things. We do not maintain the land like a a conventional cemetery would, as far as mowing lawns or anything like that. We really want the woods to remain as natural as possible.
Now, this is family land for you, which makes me curious how you got involved in this. Why did you decide to donate this land, not to mention your own life, your own career path to Green Burials?
So that really began, I'll start by saying both my parents were very active in many social issues, including the environment. In 2009, my mother died, and she had lived in this house for 25 years or so and loved it. And we decided to bury her naturally on the property. Because we were a rural property, we could get permission from the town of Springdale, where we're located. And we did so. We buried her. We wrapped her in a cotton blanket and dug the hole with friends and family and lowered her in and buried her. So from there, it was obvious. We asked Dad, what happens next? When you die, we have to sell the place. And that's what started the whole Farley Center and Natural Past Sanctuary.
So this wasn't something that you had set out to do with your life. It's something that sort of grew out of who your family was.
So, as you already know, I'm from Colorado. I've been a general contractor home builder in Colorado and have been for 32 years. The house that my parents lived in was my first general contracting experience. I've been doing that a long time and had always wanted to do this kind of work, and this one fell into my lap, more or less.
And just briefly, as we wrap up, you also offer workshops at Natural Past Sanctuary. What would people learn at those?
So workshops is basically going into much more detail about what we are talking about now, what constitutes a natural burial, why it's good for the earth or not as harmful to the earth as conventional burials, and the traditions and reasons for it. The workshop itself, it's kind of how you define workshops, is we don't do any actual work, but but it's
things.
More of an educational.
Shed, thing. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
That was Shed Farley, coordinator at the Natural Past Sanctuary in Verona, talking about green burial practices.
Coming up, the owners of USA Today have made an offer to buy Tribune Publishing, a big media group. We'll talk about what these big media acquisitions can mean for news consumers. I'm Rob Farrakh.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.